Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe.
I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I
praise be to God. Amen. I want to bow our heads once again. We look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come humbly before you tonight, Lord, with thanksgiving in our hearts, and Lord, with the desire to speak, Lord, only that which you would have us to say. Lord, we think of the words of the great messenger, Lord, that angel to Sodom, Billy Graham, who in an interview once, and he asked what his greatest joy was. He said it was to know that he had said what you wanted said. And Lord, I think every minister, that's the desire, Lord. At least every member of your bride, your body, Lord. Their desire is to say only what you want said. And Father, may you help us and guide us, Lord. Let us leave our own thoughts. Lord, let us have the mind of Christ, Lord, and the leading of the Spirit to say, Lord, whatever you would have us to say. Bless your people together, those here, those that are not, your bride, around the world, Lord. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We commit this to you, the furtherance of this service, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. You can be seated. We really appreciate that song, Brother Chris. That was a blessing. And so we had a little thought on Sunday that we started. And so I sent the quotes that I sent out there together for both. And so I'd like to just maybe back up and read a couple of quotes that I read on Sunday and then continue over into the furtherance of that. And so the first one is in the message, How Can I Overcome? On paragraph 49. And then I'll just jump around a little bit, and then I'll get to what I hadn't read. So, and he said, and then look at the Laodicea church age. After has received the Holy Ghost, and with the knowledge and the Spirit of God within it, then the works of God is denied by it, and call it an evil work. Then what about that? There is where Christ is put out of his own church. See, it never showed him in the church until it come to Laodicea. And I thought, it never showed him in the church until it came to Laodicea.
Amen.
So where was he? Where was he? If he never showed him in the church, where was he? And he got to Laodicea, and he had been put out of his church trying to get back in. So it never showed him in the church to hear. And then he's put out. See? Now see, paragraph 50, justification never put him in. Sanctification just cleaned the place for him. But when the baptism of the Holy Spirit come, it put him in the people. See? And in the Sardesian church age, now look, resurrect that. If this book falls on the floor, now to take another book and take it in its place isn't restoration, resurrection. So you have to bring the same one up. So if the church died through the dark ages and become completely pagan back there, see, then the restoration, comma, that's a reformation, see, to reform. But to be reformed and born again is two different things. See, they brought back reformation, reforming, getting away from a lot of their idols and so forth. He said it went completely to paganism. It went completely to idol worship, the whole thing. And he'll say a couple times that the Holy Spirit was bound for 2,000 years. 2,000 years. And we think, the mind thinks The Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. They had everything. They had it all right there. But the reality that was revealed to us in this day is they didn't have everything. Everything hung on Calvary. Everything was the fullness that was there in their midst. And then when he went off the scene, then he began to pour himself out in a portion, in a portion, in a portion. And so they didn't have what was standing among them, which was the fullness of the word made flesh in their day. And that was the thing that Brother Branham said in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He said, we are not looking for something. We're not looking to the future. We're not looking to another coming. He said, we're looking back. And this is one of the only places where he talks about looking back, because he's always talking about going forward. But he said, we're looking back to Jesus Christ, the fullness. We're looking to him and him only, because that was him. That was it. That was all of it. And it was made manifest in flesh. See? So, they got away from their idols and so forth, but they never brought the Holy Ghost back in the church. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother, sister, can you see that? They never brought the Holy Ghost back, because the only one that really brings the true gospel light, put on your cap now, the one that brings the true gospel light is the angel of that church down here. See? And we're going to see that Sunday. And this is in the original church ages in 1960. So he goes to the message, how can I overcome? Now see, he's saying the same thing that he was saying there in the church ages. And this is after the seals. This is just a few months, 5 months after the seals. He's saying the same thing he said back there in the original church ages in 1960. See? Justification never put him in. Sanctification just cleaned the place for him. But when the baptism of the Holy Spirit come, it put him in the people. And now they turned him out. When he began to show himself that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, they turned him out because they have denominated. And the Spirit of the Lord don't agree with their denomination. And he don't agree with it today. He didn't agree with it all the way down through there, and he don't agree with it today. He didn't agree with it in the Reformation, and he's not agreeing with it now. It is a separation. It's a total separation. See, they turned him out because they have denominated, and the Spirit of the Lord don't agree with their denomination. You understand now? They put him out. We don't want nothing to do with his telepathy. It's of the devil, see? It's fortune-telling. They don't understand. Amen. And you know, when Brother Branham went into the message Birth Pains, he talked about those two systems. He said there's two systems that were in the womb of the church that were looking for a birth. They were looking to come forth and manifest the what they were predestinated to be. And one of them was that the spirit of the world, it was the spirit of denomination. He typed that with Esau. He said Esau and Jacob said they were fighting even in the womb. There was a struggle in the womb. Right. And that same struggle was taking place. And he said it was struggling. That birth was struggling back there in the Reformation. It was struggling back there in the days of Luther. They were in the womb waiting to come forth. And it was a battle. It was a fight. And every one of them, you look at the price that they paid. Every time it was a great battle. In the days of Luther, It's amazing that he wasn't killed for his stand against the Catholic Church. They said in the days of Wesley that to stand against the Anglican Church, it was death. They would just kill you. The Anglicans, the church itself, they would just kill you because they had it and nobody else had it. And so that's the way they viewed it. And anybody else was just a reprobate. It was death. But God was moving on. He continued to move on. And there's always been a reproach. And, you know, I can remember the early days when we were young in the message. We preached reproach a lot. We talked about that. There was always a reproach upon the word. And there was always a reproach standing for the word. And I think it's still there. I think it's still there when we truly are standing for all of the word. There's always going to be something that they can throw up and say, yeah, but he believes this, but he believes that. No matter how nice you are, or how you try to fit in, or you know, you try to have a little fellowship or whatever, it doesn't matter. There's always going to be something there that's looming that they can point and say, he's one of them. He's one of them. She's one of them. They believe it this way, or they don't believe this, or they don't believe that. See, they turned him out, and he began to show himself that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They turned, and I think I just already read that. So when he was talking about Esau and Jacob and how that they struggled in the womb and how that even after they came forth, they continued to be a battle. And so it's the same today. Now I want to go over to it's page 21, but I think for you, right, it's a message of shame. That's where I left off. It's paragraph 133, and that's where I left off on Sunday. So just a little bit there. But when it comes to being a Christian that can take God's word just the way it is, they're ashamed. I don't belong to any denomination. See? They're ashamed to say that. They're ashamed to say that. That in Brother Branham's day, they were ashamed to say that I don't belong to any denomination. Mm-hmm. Remember Brother Branham telling the story one time that somebody said they couldn't be saved unless they belonged to a denomination. And Brother Branham said, that's a lie of the devil. To say you have to belong to anything, that's a lie. You don't have to belong to anything but Christ. You don't have to be born by anything but Christ.
That's right.
See? They've got to be like the rest of the world. See, represented by some organization. This is a thing that is really, it's been, the Lord's been dealing with me, and I don't want to say it wrong because I don't want to, well, I don't mind so much being sounding radical because I'm considered radical anyways. I think all true believers are radical. But the thing is, we don't have to be represented by anything but Jesus Christ. We don't have to be represented by anything but this revelation of this day. And that is God. That's God made manifest in this day. And I don't want you to think I'm against church, that I'm against churches, that I'm against any of that. That's not it. But we were called out of the church. He was put out of the church. Mm-hmm. For 2,000 years, that's where it was. That's where it was. And then at the end of that, Brother Branham said, he is no longer in the church. He's no longer in the church. He's not in that form. He's not in that system. He's not in the traditions of it. He's has completely separated himself from every bit of that. He allowed that, or he put up with that down through the ages, because of the ignorance of the people. He allowed Luther to be the messenger of the age and to teach a Trinitarian doctrine. He allowed him to drink his beer and smoke his cigar. He allowed those things because that hadn't been revealed, because they had fell away into that thing. And so that was okay in that church. In that church in Germany, it was okay to drink. It was okay to smoke. At that time, all the revelation they had was the Trinitarian doctrine. That's all they had. That's as far as they could go. But there was something that was fresh. There was something that was real. There was something that God was giving out. And that identified a little group in that day, that this here is the elect of this day. Because they were able to believe that one little thing right there. And all of the rest of it that surrounded it, God was still there with them in all of that. And that's the thing it's been hitting me and hitting me and hitting me. This is a total, total separation from every bit of it. This is every bit of it. Anything that they call church, or they think that you have to do this or you have to do that, you don't have to do anything but be born again. And once you are born again, then God is going to lead you and guide you. And that's the thing He has been wanting since the beginning of time. That's the thing that God has been searching for and He's been crying for. And as Brother Chris was talking about the other day, He wants fellowship. And I know in my life, it's a place that I'm lacking, that I don't give Him enough fellowship. I don't give Him enough time. But I can say I think about Him all day long. I think of everywhere I go, everything I'm doing, you can be sure He's on my mind. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about where we're at and what God is wanting right now. And in all of that, you can't help but recognize and see your shortcomings. The whole time you're thinking about it. But this thing, you know, when I read back in the days of Pentecost, when I listened to those messages of Brother Eddie Bisco, I mentioned Sunday, when he brought that message, I Am a Witness, he revisited that message not too long ago in the last few years. He took it again and he told a lot of the same stories. But he added to that testimony about the early days of Pentecost. And in that, he talked about how the Spirit of God was moving and how there was people that was just constantly being led of the Spirit of God, and how they could be walking down the street and God would tell them to go here, do this, go do that, go do this. And I thought that was under Pentecost. And when Brother Branham was talking about that pouring out at that time, he identified that as a mixture of the Spirit of God and of devil power, that the Satan was mixed in with that. And so, but if those people, and you talk to the old timers that was around in those times, there was something the Spirit of God was moving on them that could tell them. And you read the stories about Azusa Street, how that those people, there was constant. They say the people sometimes even got close to that place, that the Spirit of God moved on them and they came under conviction. Just got close to that area, that church where those people were having those services. And remember, it was a mixed thing. It was a mixed power of the Spirit. But it was waiting for that real, genuine birth to take place. And when that took place, how much greater should it be right now? How much greater should it be right now that there's nothing, that there's no bondage, there's no hindrance, there's no, we should have a complete liberty in Jesus Christ. Amen. That and we should come to that point that God can speak to our hearts and tell us that so-and-so needs so-and-so. I don't know, Brother Chris, or if I was just reading the other day, mentioned Ananias and Sapphira. He said, it's going to come. I think you mentioned that, Brother, that it's coming back to that. And I hadn't read it in a long time. And I used to think about that a lot. But part of that is not, speaking judgment on people. That's just happening anyways. I mean, that's anyone who rejects the word, they're speaking judgment on themselves. But that thing of ministering to one another, ministering or doing what God wants us to do, that we have to come to that place where He has the full preeminence in our life every day. And I really appreciate the messages Brother Chris has been preaching, and Brother Gomez brought some things along those lines not too long ago. And it's where the bride is to be at this time. It's where she's to be at this time. See, in the days of they're always wanting you to be identified with something, and in this message, it's the same thing. That same stigma is upon the message churches. If you're in a certain area where there's a big church, and say, if you're identified with this big church, well, that's just wonderful. You're just great. Or if you're from this town, there's a big church there and they believe this. Or if you're with Jeffersonville, you're with Joseph, you believe this, you know, you're accepted under those circumstances that, you know, that takes the reproach off. But when you're standing solely with God, solely upon this revelation, there is going to be a stigma there. There's going to be some reproach there. Always and forever, it's going to go all the way. And so that's the thing that we'll continue to push off and push off and push off, and just rejoice in the Lord. In the days of Pentecost, it was a shame. to be identified with that. When the Spirit had been poured out on those people, it was a shame. And I was asking my wife if she remembered that when she was young, how that, what people were calling them. All I could remember was they called them babblers. Babblers because of the speaking in tongues and some of that. And she had asked her mom one time because I think, you say it was the Methodist Church of God. So at that time, you know, they were the shouters and they were speaking in tongues. And so she asked her mom one time, you know, what do they believe? And she said, oh, they're holy rollers. And, you know, Brother Branham said that all the time, you know. But if we think back as older ones, we've seen and heard of those things being identified. That those people were looked down upon as a lower class of people because that they were identified with the outpouring of the Spirit of that day. And so is it today. You know, you try some time on the some of these groups to have some fellowship with some of those brothers and try to talk to them about some of the Word. And it's like you might get just a little ways with them and then they want to sling something. But he believes so-and-so. He believes so-and-so. And so I had one come at me the other day about water baptism, maybe a week or so ago. And so he started in on me. And so there's nothing you're going to accomplish when they begin the conversation with an attack. You're not going to help them. They're not going to help you. It's just going to be an argument. And so this brother, he started in on me, and I said, Brother, I said, let me just ask you a question. I said, why don't we, for once, let's see if there's something we agree on. And I said, you want to talk about water baptism? I said, let me just ask you a question. I said, do you believe that water baptism saves you? I said, not regardless of whether you do it or you don't do it, or let's leave all that aside. I said, do you believe that water baptism saves you? And so he was quiet for a little while, and he finally come back, and he said, no, I don't. But, I said, no, we don't have to go any further. I said, praise God, we've agreed on something. I said, brother, we got something in common now. We got something that we agree on. And that was enough for me for that, because it's so hard. You know, some of those groups, those guys are tough. They're just tough. So there was a time, now watch this, paragraph 135, okay? You know what a shame it was to be identified with the Pentecostals. Now, when the calling out time comes that you don't belong to any of it, huh? What do we belong to? None of it. See, it's very popular to say, I'm Pentecost. Oh, yeah. Or it's very popular to say, I'm in the Laodicean church age. I believe the seventh angel messenger. I believe the message, and we are in this Pentecostal church age. I look at this as Brother Branham was applying it in his day, and it can still be applied in this day because so many people are still in that age. Although they've came up, they have more understanding and more knowledge and a little bit of revelation maybe, but they're still identifying with something. They want something that they can get popularity from. See? Now, I want to read that again because I like it so much. Now, when the calling out time comes that you don't belong to any of it, it's very popular to say, I'm Pentecost. It's very popular to say, I'm Presbyterian or Lutheran. But when it comes to the time that you'll have to come out and stand for the word, I don't belong to any of it. See, that's embarrassed. See, Jesus said, now, if you're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you. Why would he be ashamed of you? Because you're claiming to be his when you won't follow him, when we won't take all of the word of God. In the message, Feast of the Trumpets. This is such a great message. The seven Sabbaths is the seven church years, church ages. Get it? See? Now the Jews has been blinded, waiting all of this time, while the Pentecostal first fruits has been poured out upon the church. And we've come down through the martyr age and down through the reformer age And now in the calling out time, see, getting us out of every tradition, getting us out of every man-made idea, getting us out of every bit of that now. See, three sections, like same Spirit, like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. See, same one. See, seven church ages being seven Sabbaths. Exactly seven Sabbaths from the Pentecostal Jubilee trumpet, the Pentecostal Jubilee feast, see, until the waving of the sheaf. Now, I'm going to skip the rest of that and turn over to paragraph 230. See, when he was revealed himself as Son of God, has been revealing to the church in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, now down through the ages, see, that in the Pentecostal age, see, just keeping getting more and more, and he's mixing it a little bit, but you know exactly what he's saying because you know the order of what he's talking about. See, just keeps getting more and more, justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, baptism of the Holy Ghost, see, but now here is the calling out time, see, this is different than what we've had. This is different than what they've had now the last 2,000 years. At the sixth seal, when it opened. Now he's talking about the sixth seal here. And he's going to say all this again and bring it to the sixth trumpet. See? When it opened, the persecution struck the Jews in a literal standpoint. And here comes the persecution to the church in the ecclesiastical standpoint. Because the bride is already called. See, the Sabbaths are over and ready for the Jews to be called. See, where to? The Feast of Atonement. See, and I can remember, and Brother Chris was talking about this the other day, I can remember when Brother Holmes first began to introduce the idea of water baptism being over. I can remember we had a men's meeting. I can remember us talking, and I can remember Brother TB just shaking his head and just like, you know, it was blowing people's minds that this could even be an idea. Myself, I had been thinking about it because I had preached a lot on redemption over for the 2 years before that on the field. And so I was already thinking, if we're saying all of this is over, if we're saying everything is over, how are we still doing the same things that was going on? And that's my same thought here. Where are we at if the church is over? If the church is over and now this is the bride. And I know he still calls it a church. He still calls us a church. And that's the called out. And so, and that's what he's talking about. But he's telling us there's a difference between the church and there's a difference between the bride. I'm not making some deep revelation here, so don't think I am. So this is the same thing that you've heard over and over, but it's just I'm just saying it again because, and I'm stressing it because I'm telling you, we have to lay down everything. We have to completely separate ourselves from every tradition and every idea and all of the things that we thought was how we were supposed to act. If I join a church, then I got to do this and this and this and this. And everyone there is supposed to do this and this and this and this. And if I'm led of the Spirit of God, if I'm completely sold out to God, then I can't be in subjection to anything else. And I'm not, what I told Brother Chris the other day, I'm not speaking against having a pastor or having any of that. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is, if God can take a woman that's standing in line to be prayed for by the prophet and tell her to pray for a baby that the prophet's fixing to pray for, and even in herself, she doesn't feel worthy to do it, and she does it, her respect is to that prophet that she doesn't even want to do it. She can't imagine that this woman will even let her do it, because she's expecting the prophet to do it. And God bear down on her so strongly in the spirit that this woman is the one that God ordained to pray for that baby and that baby to be healed. Brother Branham declared that he did not need to pray for it, that baby was already healed. God healed that baby when that woman prayed for it in the prayer line. It was already a finished work when that baby got to the prophet. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, that I can't put anybody in any kind of bondage. Nobody else can put anybody in any kind of bondage. When we enter into the presence of God, when we enter into this new birth of this day in the fullness of what God has revealed, it's time for His bride, for Him to have that full preeminence.
That's right.
And if He wants to do something, there was a time, I can remember the early days, even fussing to Brother Goomba, because he sometime would have, maybe be on his way to church or something, and somebody called and they need such and such. And I told him, no, brother. I said, you need to be at your place on Sunday. I said, that's the only time them people are getting to hear you. This is your responsibility. You're the pastor. You need, you know. And so we talk those things. I love Brother Goomba, but people think we never tie into it. We have our usually it's private, but we have our moments. That we talk about things, and he tells me what he thinks, you know, in my life, and I tell him what I think in his. And so as ministers, we talk. And so, but I come around, and I told him sometime after that, I said, brother, we have to come to that place. Because I was looking from my standpoint, I was thinking of my idea of church. But what if God, what if Goomba is on his way to church and God is telling Goomba that he needs to go do this or he needs to go there, and he's on his way to church? What if somebody in the church is on their way to church? Now, me as a church member, I'm thinking everybody's supposed to be there every time the doors open. That's what we've been taught, isn't it? That's what we've been taught. But what if God wants to do something contrary to what we had been taught? Contrary to what we think the way it ought to be. What if he tells Brother Chris, I want you to go to this certain place and I want you to talk to so-and-so or do something for so-and-so. What if God wants to do something? I'm not saying that, that when you're on your way to church every time God's going to do something. But I'm saying I want to make it unusual. Because if God does something, he's going to make it unusual. He's going to do it that even we sometime can look down on one another and think you should have been doing this or you should have been doing that. That's got to go away. If we know no man after the flesh, then my confidence is in Brother Goomba that he's being led of the Spirit. That Brother Chris he's being led of God to do what God wants him to do at that exact moment. And that's where your confidence is in one another. That Brother Chris was supposed to come here and preach, and he says, I just want to tell you, God has told me I need to go do something. I have this burden. I got to go. God is going to anoint somebody to walk right up here behind him and fill that place, whether they're prepared or they're not prepared. God will take care of that.
That's right.
If God called him to go do something, God's going to take care of it, and he's going to do it just the way he wants to do it. That's here is the calling out time. This is it. See, at the sixth seal, when it opened, the persecution struck the Jews in the literal standpoint. And here comes the persecution to the church in the ecclesiastical standpoint. And it's still rolling. It's still rolling right on. The bride is already called. Now, those are past tense statements. They're already called. The Sabbaths are over, ready for the Jews to be called. Where to? The Feast of Atonement. Oh, church, don't you see that? Called to the Feast of Atonement. This, I love this message. You know, and Brother Holmes preached these things for years and years. It took me a long time to get this. I was slow. When he was preaching, and he was preaching on those two prophets, and he was talking, the anointing was so strong, and I said, oh, I see it. Praise God, I see it. But I couldn't preach it. It was a long, long time before I could preach it. But it was these quotes in this message that finally it clicked for me. And he's telling us when it happened and how it happened. See? See, no more. Let me skip down. Paragraph 232. Notice here is a great thing. Look, oh my. The Holy Spirit has been bound by the denomination all these 2,000 years. One place he said almost 2,000 years. Here he's saying all of these 2,000 years. This whole time he has been bound. See? And we find out it has now. Notice the Sabbath, seven Sabbaths. And they couldn't get all the way out. The Bible said there would be a day that will be neither night nor day. And all scripture, Jesus said, must be fulfilled. That's right. See? Paragraph 240. And the prophet said, the sun will not shine through this day. See, it'll be a day of gloom. And they had enough light, like a real rainy day, that they could join churches. That's what's been going on. That's all that they had. See? And they believed the Lord and things like that. But he said, in the evening time, the clouds are going to move away and the denominations are going to fade. And the same gospel, the same word made flesh, as he promised in Luke 17:33, the same gospel with the same thing, which took place in the evening time. Praise be to God. That evening light was going to shine, and it was going to show a clear day. It was going to show everything that they had missed. And what the thing that they missed, that they were missing, was causing them to get tangled up with man-made ideas. It was causing them to get tangled up into traditional ideas. And that's the thing God was going to show them. He was going to take away that looking through a glass darkly. He was going to take away all of that. And he was going to make it one clear, beautiful picture. That's right. See, the same gospel, the same Christ that lived in flesh back yonder at the beginning on the eastern people shall live again in the western people at the end time. It shall be light in the evening time. See, the big 50 days has passed over. The Pentecostal feast has passed over. Seven Sabbaths until the trumpets, a type of the seventh church age. Under the sixth trumpet, see, now he's saying the same thing that he said a minute ago with the sixth seal. Now he's going to say all of it again using the sixth trumpet. See, are you listening? See, under the sixth trumpet, the Pentecostals reject the Bible. Has that happened? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The lukewarm, not only the Pentecostals, but all of the rest. See, all of them, every single one of them, all of the churches. See, and the church world rejects Christ. Why? Because he's on the outside. They put him on the outside. And in the same seal, see, in the same seal, when it was opened to show Jesus on the outside of the church, trying to get back in, see, and at the same time, this is it. This was the thing that opened it for me. And this is not my subject tonight, but this is the thing that opened it for me to see clearly that Israel has received it. See, at the same time, the trumpets sound for the Jews. See, and the Jews recognize the atonement at the same time. And at the same time as what? Huh? The Pentecostals reject the Bible. See, the church world rejects Christ and puts him on the outside. That's it. All of that had passed over. All of that has happened. All of that was fulfilled. All of that was done. That's right. The Holy Spirit has been bound by these denominational rivers for almost 2,000 years, but is to be loosed in the evening time by the evening time message. Right. The Holy Spirit back in the church again. Christ himself revealed in human flesh in the evening time, he said. He promised it. See, there was three stages of it. The martyrs, the age of the martyrs. See, the stage of the reformers. And now, the calling out time. The martyrs back there in the church ages. The reformers back there in the church ages. Then coming up to the end of that last age. See, now, the calling out time. When finished at the Laodicean age, according to Revelation 10, the mystery of all the Bible would be known to the bride. See? Is that right? Revelation 10. Listen close now. Bride called out by the word. called out. Where is she called out? Out of the church. Out of tradition. Yeah. Out of everything. Everything. Himself. Christ himself calling out the bride. Whether this is a marriage, this is a love affair, yes, this is a joining, a uniting, this is an exodus from that, and a uniting and a joining together for the bride in this last days. And we know all of this happened. We know how it happened. I know this is old news, but yet this is
good.
It stirs our hearts. It stirs our hearts every time we read it. It's like the children sing that song. It's bubbling. It's bubbling. That's right. See? Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does the same, is the same. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Luke 17:30, Malachi 4, Hebrews 4:12. All of these scriptures that's promised, this is to be between the sixth and the seventh seal, and the sixth and the seventh trumpet. Praise be to God. Beautiful, isn't it? The Pentecost feast finishes at the period of the seventh trumpet. See? For next is the mystery of the coming of Christ. I'm sorry, did I read that? The Pentecostal feast finishes at the period of the seventh seal. Now, you'll read seventh trumpet there, for the next is the coming, and he stops and he corrects it. And he's not correcting it because they mean the same thing. They're both the same thing. The seventh trumpet and the seventh seal is the same thing. And so he does the same thing with the sixth seal and the sixth trumpet. He's saying the same thing. The timeline's the same. Once to the Jew, once to the Gentile. Mm-hmm. It's bringing it down, manifesting the promise. The Pentecostal feast finishes at the period of the seventh seal. For next is the mystery of the coming of Christ. See? The trumpets is sound for the Jews. Their sixth trumpet is sound, and when it does, it makes known to them the revealed Son of God. Amen. Now, the question is, when did that sixth trumpet sound? Because he said, when it sounded, it makes known to them the revealed Son of God. So if you know it's there, you know he said it over and over, it sounded. It's already done. The sixth trumpet has sounded. So that means that when it sounded, he makes himself known to the Jews as the revealed Son of God. See? 1/2 hour of hour of space. Remember, all trumpets sound on this sixth seal. The sixth seal finishes the mystery under the sixth seal just before the seventh opened. So it was the mystery finished. Has he revealed everything? He's did it. See? Paragraph 247, Leviticus 23:26. How in order is the scripture? After the long period of Pentecost, which Israel did reject back there, after the long period of Pentecost, which Israel did reject back there, he called the Gentile church out through this Pentecostal feast. How many understands what the Pentecostal feast is? See? First fruits of the harvest. The first fruits of the resurrection. The Pentecostal feast. Don't miss this, people. And you on tape, listen close. This has been the time of Pentecostal feast. The Jews has laid silent. They rejected it. Now they've got to be called back to the atonement. See? And we know who the atonement was. They didn't. And the trumpet sound after the Pentecostal Jubilee calls the Jews together. Are they called together? Are they in their homeland? Amen. Is all of that done? Can't you see how that trumpet of persecution under Hitler and them blasted? And the Jews was forced to come together to fulfill the scripture. Praise be to God. Now you got it? All that's got it, say amen. Amen. Good. All right. He makes it just clear, beautiful, just perfect. Amen. That trumpet of persecution under Hitler and them, those Jews was being called out. The bride was being called out. He was pulling them out by the word, as he brought in Hosea, from recognizing your day in his message. In the message influence. Now, I think I'm getting close here. Heavenly Father, as the music is sweetly playing, may everyone that's in divine presence, Lord, see that this is the calling time. It's a separating time when the chaff and the wheat is to be separated. Although the wheat had been wrapped in the chaff, but now it's a calling out time. It's another exodus. Although all through them church ages that thing was to gather, the wheat and the tares, the church and the bride, it was coming, it was growing together until it came to that last one. And then it was so close to gather that that shuck was actually protecting the seed. It was wrapped tight around the seed to protect it from the sun, to protect it from the sun until it had matured enough that it could take every bit of it. It could take the sun at full strength, at full strength.
That's right.
Amen. Glory to God. I remember one time I wanted to plant some watermelons late in the season, and you know, Florida's different than here, and so it was, I don't know, about the end of summer or something. And I asked Brother TB, I said, Brother, can I still plant some watermelons? And he kind of laugh and do his shoulder over like that. And he said, well, it's really too late, brother. He said, you'd have some mighty nice vines. And so it was too late for that. But when it's time for that, that if you do that at the wrong time, and then it's not ready. But everything is in its time. And so when that shuck was ready, when that seed was ready, that shuck pulled away. It pulled away and it exposed that seed. But this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, this is paragraph 251. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But this is the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit, moving among his people, doing the same thing that he did when he was here on earth, identifying himself with his bride, not the church. There's a difference between the church and the bride. I'm not preaching doctrine now. And then he goes on and talking some other stuff about the tribulation and those things. So I added one quote just right as I was leaving home. And so you don't have that. And this is in Proving of His Word. And you've heard this many, many times. And it's one of those quotes we really cherish. And another one is in Souls in Prison. He's talking about the bride is already called and the things that are already done. But I'm going to read this one here. It's in Proving His Word, paragraph 235 and 236. He said, now we say he's raised from the dead. I didn't say it. The word here said it. They said he raised from the dead. He says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe that? He promised these things to happen in the last days. That same Son of Man will be manifested. Now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that could discern the thoughts of Sarah in Sarah's mind behind him. That was not Jesus. He had not yet been born. But it was a man in human flesh. And that Abraham called Elohim, the great Almighty, showing. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom. Now watch close. In the days of Sodom, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed. How's he being revealed? And Brother Branham said, when he came in the form of Martin Luther, when he came in the form of John Wesley, when he came in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when he came. Now he's talking about him coming in the form of the Son of Man. See, when he, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed, not no more as a church. See, not no more. He is not revealing himself as a church anymore. No. the bride is called. See, in that day the Son of Man will be revealed. What? To join the church to the head, unite the marriage of the bride. See, the bridegroom call will come right through this, when the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. Brother, sister, we've seen this. We're a part of this. This has happened. This is the promise. And this is where people are still struggling. If they haven't, if they don't have the new birth, they're still struggling to understand these places, the things that he has said, and why that he said them. When they're trying to hold to that traditional idea of the church, of what the church is and how it will all unfold. And unless we come out of every one of those ideas, every one of those ideas, we won't come to the fullness. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word, and the two unites together. See? And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. Not a clergyman. No, no. See? Do you see what I mean? See, it's Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us and will make his word so real that it'll unite the church and him as one, the bride. And then she'll go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She's already united. See, we go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Feel your flesh, self, of all the flesh of mighty men, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. But the rapture is going to the wedding supper, when the word here unites with the person, and they too become one. Then what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again, not the church theologians. It won't manifest the church. It will manifest the Son of Man again. That's right. The Son of Man. The Word and the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man done, he was the Word. The church does the same thing. Amen. Praise be to his name. Let us pray once again. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you and praise you. And Lord, we know that you were put out, Lord. And when you were put out, you called your bride. Lord, to come with you, to walk with you, as that prophet, Lord, told us the invitation that you gave him to walk with him, or for him to walk with you, Lord, in that virgin forest. And Lord, you've given that invitation to your bride, your wife, to walk with you, Lord, in this virgin word, Lord, that's come forth in this last day. And Lord, the world, they can't understand it. They can't figure out why you said the things you did. So they hold to the old idea. They hold to the tradition. They hold to the church. They hold to these things, Lord. But you've separated your bride. Lord, help us, guide us in all truth. Lord, knowing that this bride is made up of every nation and every tongue and every kindred. Lord, it's not confined to a building, is not confined to a group, but Lord, it's individuals all over the world, Lord, that have that predestinated seed on the inside, Lord, and it's being birthed and manifest in the Son of Man again. Help us and guide us. We pray you'll be with Brother Goomba, Lord, as he ministers to the people there. Bring him home safely, Lord. You know every need among us, Lord, our families, our loved ones. Lord, for your people, we commit them each one to you. So we thank you and praise you, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope I didn't make that confusing or anything. I hope it was all right. But one thing's for sure, we are a separated people. And he has called us out. Amen. And so we thank him and praise him. Brother Chris.
Amen. I know you enjoyed that, and I thought about like six things to say while he was preaching, and I forgot them all. Brother Branham said that, you know, I was telling Katrina the other day, I said I was kind of feeling bad about writing notes and stuff like that and typing stuff in between the paragraphs and stuff. I said I kind of felt like I was not leaving it open for the Holy Ghost to do. And I said, but I got to read just a day or two after that. Brother Branham said that he writes stuff down as the Lord gives it to him so he don't forget it, he said. And I said, well, I said,